The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
What's up, Grizz Nation? Welcome back to the show. This is Hoop Ball Grizz. I'm David. He is Isaac. And the Memphis Grizzlies are in the playoffs. Let's go, boys.
Man, playoff bound, man. It's still surreal, man. I had to wake up this morning and pinch myself a little bit and ask myself, did that really happen last night? But, I mean, it's fantastic, man, for you to be in a second year of a rebuild, to be here in the playoffs. And I mean, and they took the scenic route. I tweeted that out last night. They weren't the 8 seed or the 7 seed. They ended up 9th and took the scenic route. So nobody can look at this and say they didn't earn it, man. They really earned their way and got the big victory against San Antonio. FedEx Forum had to rematch with Golden State, man. And they went out there and handled business, man. It wasn't always easy. Wasn't a clean victory. Had several big leads, allowed those leads to slip away, but the resiliency they showed in overtime, and Jonas Valanciunas fouled out in that game, to go out and Ja kind of put this team on his shoulders and look like the button superstar that he is in this game and led this team to victory, man. It's fantastic, man. It feels great here in Grizzland right now, Grizz Nation. Feeling good, man, in a big matchup against the Utah Jazz looming on Sunday. And again, before we even get into that, no matter what happens in this series, I think this season is a huge success. Even if they go out and get swept, I don't think that's what's going to happen. But even, no matter what happens in this series, I think you got to look at this season as success, and it just shows you where this franchise is, and it shows you how I think the trajectory they're on and how exciting this thing is going to be in the future.
Yeah. To me, even if they had come up short last night against the Warriors, this season was a success. They learned a lot. To be in the position that they are in, missing their, you know, arguably their second best player for the majority of the season, just unbelievable job by the guys that are out there playing the game and by the coaching staff.
Yeah, we were just talking in the media press conference with Taylor Jenkins a little bit ago, and I asked him about how he would kind of sum up this season, and he just kind of talked about the commitment of guys and how they bought into what they were trying to do, and I think this is the payoff for that. I mean, I think what he said is exactly right. I think these guys bought into their roles. On a lot of teams, you have guys with egos. You don't have that type of thing with this team. Even Ja is sometimes passive to a fault. But sometimes we wish he'd be more aggressive. And, I mean, he is bought in. I mean, you could just tell the press conference after that game. I mean, you just had guys supporting each other. You had guys jumping in, press conference congratulating one another. And that's cliche, but you don't get that with all teams. I mean, some teams, I mean, looks like they're together on the surface, but I really think this team, I think these guys really like each other. They support each other. They're bought into what they're doing. They really believe in this coaching staff, this front office, and what they're trying to build here. And I just think we have something special here. And again, like you said, even if they had lost that game last night, despite some of the things that we've criticized them for and things that have happened throughout the year, this was a success when just by getting to that game and winning it and creating a playoff berth. I think that even goes beyond that. And it's just, again, man, it's just fantastic and a testament to these guys, this coaching staff, and this front office.
Yeah, if you go back to the you were talking about the press conference after the game last night and what Jaren was saying. He's like, you know, we hang out outside of basketball. He was crossing his fingers and he's like, you know, we're like this, you know, we're tied. Yeah. This is a family. And you could really see it. Sometimes that, you know, that comes across as cliche, but
yeah.
Everything that you see from this, this team, these guys, the support that they're giving to each other, including Ja giving Dylan, you know, saying, hey, give my guy his respect. He deserves to be on one of these all defensive teams. You know, these guys are in it together, and that's huge. That's huge for the Grizzlies. That's huge for us as a fan base as we are watching this team grow and they go to the next level this season, making the playoffs. All right. You know, last year came up a game short, you know, had the chance, didn't get there. This year had the opportunity. They were able to execute whenever the game was on the line and make it happen. And now they're going into the playoffs. And for the players, they say, you know, job's not done. We don't just want to make the playoffs. We want to make a run. And I'm on the same page as Isaac. I don't know that they beat this Jazz team in a series. They haven't beat them all year. They're 0-3 against the Jazz. But The experience is invaluable. What Desmond Bane and Xavier Tillman done last night as rookies, sensational job. And you cannot give those guys credit. And by those guys, I mean Bane and Tillman. You can't give them credit without giving this coaching staff credit. It's just, it's been, even with all of the shortcomings, all of the stuff that drives you crazy about Jenkins and the coaching staff and stuff that happens or doesn't happen, you have to give them credit for where this team is at right now, because without those guys leading the way, this young team wouldn't be here.
Yeah, I mean, he made fantastic adjustments and coaching decisions in the San Antonio game, especially in the second half and last night as well. A lot of people criticized him for you just look on social media and Grizzlies fans talking about why BC's not getting minutes. And I've said time and time again, I don't have any problem. We've talked so much on this show about Tillman and what he brings to the table versus what BC has brought this year. And Tillman is just better right now. I mean, it was the best decision down the stretch last night. Didn't play Jaren Jackson Jr., went with Grayson, with big minutes, and Grayson paid off. I mean, 4-5 from three, and all four of those threes were huge and really needed hit two in an overtime period that kept this thing afloat when the game got real dicey there. I mean, big time minutes from him, and you got to give Taylor Jenkins credit for these decisions. I mean, when going into the overtime, when Grayson came out there on the floor, I saw a lot of disdain, a lot of jeering about him being in the game, and you saw how he came up big, and Taylor talked about that after the game last night, that he put him in the game and felt like the moment wasn't too big for him, and that if they needed a big three, he would be the guy that could knock it down, and he came through. And you got to give his coaching staff credit for that. I know there's a lot of talk about the challenge, and that it's head scratching. His use of challenges and non-use of challenges, I should say, has been head scratching throughout his tenure. But again, man, as far as adjustments and lineup decisions, I've criticized him for that in the past, over the last week or so, in these big time games and big time moments. In those situations, I think he's made the right moves.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree with you, man. I'm going to bounce back. We were kind of talking a little bit about the win over the Warriors, but I want to bounce back to this Golden State or the San Antonio game. And the one thing this time of year that we have to understand, this is going to be a game of runs. That you're nobody is just going to roll over. It's not going to happen. You do not do that during the regular season. You know, if you're on a road trip, if you're on second night of a back-to-back and you're just exhausted, you may see a team, whenever they get down 20, 25 points, just kind of roll over and let the game go. But it's not going to happen right. You know, it will not happen. The Grizzlies against the Spurs came out 38-19 in the first quarter, and then it flip-flopped on them. They hit a wall for the second and third and nearly let this game slip away. But going up against one of the best coaches to ever do it, Taylor Jenkins made adjustments in that game that led the Grizzlies to victory. He knew, you know, Grayson was out there. Grayson was awful in this game, and he realized how bad Grayson was, and Grayson didn't see the floor again. That is improvement. That is growth for Jenkins. Even though you do not agree with everything that he does, you have to look at the things that he's doing. This is growth, because last season, earlier in this season, he's going to ride with these lineups till the wheels fall off of him. And he wasn't doing that. He hasn't been doing that. The decision to play X over Jaren Jackson Jr. last night, dude, that took some freaking stones. Like, Jaren wasn't having a great game. X was playing extremely well, doing great against the Warriors. And he left him out there. There were quite a few people that were not happy about it, but it worked out for him. And just the, I was one with the challenge call. I was one. Actually, I'm not going to get into that right now. I'm talking about this Spurs game. I'll talk about that later. But he made adjustments against Popovich, one of the best coaches ever. Pop came out. They made adjustments after the first quarter, getting the beat down, got back into the game going into the half. The third quarter was sloppy for both teams. Luckily, the Grizzlies were able to maintain in that fourth quarter to close the game out. Free throws nearly cost them the game. Cannot believe they missed so many free throws. It was crazy. I was there. I remember I mean, it was either the last time or the next last time before Ja got, like, he got to the free throw line, and I was like, come on, 12, make these free throws, and I was loud about it, and, like, I don't know that he was looking at me, but he looked in the direction whenever I was hollering, and I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to say that he was looking at me, but he ended up, it was a time before, because he made the say, so he missed two, and, like, I was like, come on, 12, make these free throws. He missed both of them. And then the next time down, he missed the first one. And I'm like, oh, man, just a dagger. When he missed that first free throw, I thought that they were going to lose the game. I lost all hope at that point. And he was able to make the next one. Grizzlies hold on. And then here we go against Golden State for a chance to make it in. And they done.
Yeah, we've talked about this throughout the season, as far as Taylor Jenkins coming from that Budenholzer coaching tree. Mike is not a guy that makes a lot of adjustments, and I kind of worried about that early on. We've seen a little bit of stubbornness early on in this season from Taylor Jenkins. When lines wouldn't work, he'd still ride with his guys. But he'd still ride with his guys like Grayson Allen and keep these lineups in too long. And we've seen over the last couple of games that he hasn't done that. You talked about Grayson struggling in that San Antonio game, and he took him out of the game. He set him down. And that's growth not only from recent, but this season. We've seen him not do that. And I've criticized him for a lot of things and a lot of stuff, different things this season. And, yeah, I've criticized Jenkins throughout the season for different lineup things and rolling with guys too long and not using timeouts and letting teams go on these runs and not calling timeouts, but over the last couple games, and this is when it really matters, he's made adjustments. Go back to that San Antonio game where Grayson really struggled early on, and he set him down. Didn't play much there in the second half, and we saw in this game against Golden State where he went with X over Jared Jackson Jr. late in the game, and that takes a lot, like you said. I mean, a role with a rookie in that situation is big time, and it paid off. He went to Grayson in overtime. He talked about that in the post-game press conference, saying he felt Grayson could come in and hit big shots if they needed it, and he came through in a big way. He had back-to-back threes that really kept his team in a game where it looked like Golden State was about to steal one. I give Taylor Jenkins a lot of credit, and this is coming from a guy that has criticized him a lot, especially as of late, and he's in these last couple games, he's really made some great coaching decisions despite the challenge and all that we're going to talk about a little bit later on. I think you got to give him credit. And he's a second-year head coach, and he's growing along with this team. I mean, he's going to make mistakes. But, again, I think he's come up big here in the last two games, and these are the type of games where coaches make their money. And, again, man, he has his team in the playoffs, and you spoke on it earlier, not having your second cornerstone piece in Jaren Jackson Jr. for the bulk of the year. And to be where they are right now, I mean, it's not only on the players. I mean, with this young team, you got to give this coaching staff credit as well.
Yeah, and you mentioned the challenge. Going back to that San Antonio game, there was a big challenge that he made where Gorgie, initially it was called a charge on Ja, and Gorgie was not set. When they showed the replay at the forum, I'm like, that's going to be overturned, or it should be at least, because Gorgie was moving whenever Ja got up off of the floor.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it got overturned. I don't know the entire process, like, the whole process of what happens whenever they decide to challenge or not to challenge. But I do know that I was watching the bench whenever that foul was called. There is a video guy that has a laptop right there on the sideline that's watching that replay. And I saw him give the nod to go ahead and challenge that call. And so apparently something that he saw last night in the Golden State game, we're kind of bouncing back and forth, and that's okay. So, like, apparently he didn't see enough in that replay to think that it was going to get overturned, and so he didn't give the go-ahead. Looking back, you know, hindsight is always 20/20. You get the two-minute report, and it shows that it was indeed, it would have been overturned. Call. You know, that's the nature of the game. I know that that's what the challenges are there for, and it makes it even worse that he didn't use a timeout after that. He held it because he didn't want to use the timeout, and then he didn't use the timeout after. And so there were so many moving parts to that. He should have challenged it. I'm on that side. I still at that point in the game, if he challenges that call, they don't get those three free throws. The Grizzlies may win this game in regulation. But it worked out. You know,
yeah, I was going to say, it worked. Yeah, it worked out in the end. I think if they challenged that call, I think they would have been successful. I mean, it's just an absolute blown call. I mean, it was a clear offensive foul. It is head-scratching why he didn't make the challenge there. I don't know. Like you said, you never know what's going on. We're not privy to everything and all the information that we have. We're watching on TV or at the game, and we feel like it's an obvious situation. We never know what's happening on the sideline or what's going on. But I think if they challenge their call, they're probably successful. They probably win the game in regulation. But, I mean, they come up big. Ja comes up big at overtime. They win the game. It ends up not mattering. And again, it's not to overshadow all the great things Coach Jenkins did in that game. I mean, like we've talked about him here. And again, I've been a guy that's criticized him, and I'm here right now giving him credit for coming up big in big time situations. A lot of those decisions that he's made weren't popular at the time. And I think now he has people eating crow right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've been on the same page, man. There have been plenty of things that have went on, and I was not quiet about that, that lack of challenge there. You know, I'm at this point in the game, you have to challenge that call. You got two timeouts. You've got nothing to lose there. There's nothing to lose there, in my opinion. And I wish that we could have kind of gotten his mind as to why he did not challenge there.
Somebody asked him. I think Drew Hill asked him, and it was a two-part question, and I don't know if he really addressed it. I think he answered the first part of his question, and I can't remember. Yeah. I was actually driving, so I didn't hear everything, but I think he got kind of danced around that part of it.
Yeah, he did. He said that they did consider challenging the call, and that was pretty much all that we got out of that. You know, he answered the first part of the question just fine, but whenever it came down to why they did not challenge it, he didn't. He didn't address that at all. He just kind of left it as we considered challenging it, but we didn't. So, moving forward, what do the Grizzlies have to do to beat this Jazz team? They're 0-3 this year against the Jazz. Jazz have the best record in basketball. There are a lot of questions for me in this matchup as to what the Grizzlies are going to do. I think a few things have to happen in order for them to win this series. Obviously, they have to execute, but I think matchups are going to be key. You have Mike Conley, Donovan Mitchell is coming back, Bojan Bogdanovic, Joe Ingles, Rudy Gobert, and then Jordan Clarkson off the bench. Jordan Clarkson and Joe Ingles are both in for the sixth man of the year. It's crazy to me because I figured Ingles would have started enough games to not qualify for
sixth man. Yeah, I would have thought so too, yeah.
But you know, both of those guys are up for sixth man of the year. And so this Jazz team is deep. Depth has been something that has carried the Grizzlies. It was bad there for a few games, and then it showed up in last night's game. It's kind of scary going into this one because you have Dylan Brooks, who you can put on Donovan Mitchell, which in two of the games, Mitchell scored 35 on the Grizzlies, so he still was able to get his even with Dylan guarding him. Dylan has really ramped it up lately and looked a lot better doing it. But even outside, even if you, I guess, neutralize Donovan Mitchell, you still have Mike Conley, you still have Bogdanovic, and you still have Jordan Clarkson that are more than capable of going off for 30-plus points at any given time. And so you're going to have more than just Dylan step up on the defensive end. Jaren Jackson Jr. matching up against Bogdanovic is going to be huge. Jaren's going to have to, or maybe they have Kyle on Bogdanovic, but either way you go there, whoever's guarding him is going to be huge. And then Ja Morant, his defense has been suspect. He's going to elevate that because if he's not playing good defense on Conley, we know what Conley can do. We watched him here for years. He can take over a game. So this is it's a tough matchup. When you had your poll on Twitter, you put a poll on Twitter, I think a little over a month ago, of asking who we would like to face. This is the team that I wanted the Grizzlies to face, not because I thought they had the best chance to beat them, but this is going to be a fantastic measuring stick for this franchise as to, okay, this is one of the better teams in the league. Where do you measure up? What are your shortcomings? Where do you need to improve? This has been a data gathering, data collection season. This playoff matchup right here is like, you can pretty much throw everything else that you've seen the rest of the season out. These next, you know, 4 to 7 games, however many we get, are going to be the most important data collection games that we'll have.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough. I mean, this Utah team is defensively is so good at taking you out of what you want to do. We watched the three games that they played this season, the Grizzlies 0-3 against the Jazz, and what they did is basically said that we're not going to let Ja beat us. We're going to make you make threes, make perimeter jumpers, and we're not going to let you get into the paint. And that's, if you're going to win the game, you're going to win the game with Ja shooting threes, with other guys knocking down perimeter shots. You're not going to get into the paint and get those floaters off and what this team is used to doing, and they were able to do that. I think in order to have some success in this series, I think the Grizz are going to have to make threes. I mean, you're probably not going to match what Utah does from three. I think, looking at the numbers here, Utah is fourth in the league at 38.9% from downtown. You're probably not going to match that, but you have to make shots to kind of make them honor that, and that kind of loosens things up and gets you to the point. I think Jaren Jackson Jr. and JV are going to be huge in this series. Can they score in the paint? I think it's going to be huge. I mean, we've seen Rudy Gobert give Jonas a lot of problems this season, and that's something I think that Jonas is going to have to find a way to score in the paint, and they're going to have to knock down some perimeter shots to kind of loosen that lane up for Ja to be able to get in there and drive and kiss this and make some floaters itself. And I think that's going to be the key for this team, and it's not going to be easy. I mean, they're so good defensively. I think third in the league, only give up 107.2 points per game. I mean, they can really, really wreck your offense and take you out of what you want to do. And the Grizz are going to have to find a way to defend that and fight that. And I think it starts with them knocking down perimeter shots, and that's just going to have to make them honor that, and that's going to open up the paint. But it's not going to be easy, because I'm saying this Utah team really doesn't have a lot of weaknesses. You talk about going to the bench, depth has been a key for the Grizzlies, and they have a lot of depth too. Jordan Clarkson coming out the bench has been fantastic for this team, with start for a lot of teams in the league with the way he's been playing. So it's not going to be easy. And again, Utah has home court advantage. You're going to be playing at altitude. It's a quick turnaround. You had a big emotional overtime win last night. You got to be there tomorrow night at altitude going against a team with the best record in the league. It's not going to be easy at all, but I'm looking forward to it. I agree with you. I think it's a measuring stick to kind of show where this team is, and I think it's a tremendous challenge. But if you listen to what these guys said and say and been saying over the last week or so, I think they're ready for it. I think they're going to be up for the challenge. Now, does that mean they're going to go out there and win this series? No, but I think they're going to give great effort. And again, that's all I'm looking for. I want them to be competitive and play good basketball, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you know, three-point shots are crucial, you know, especially against this team. You go back to the first matchup of the year, the Jazz won that game 117-114. Three-pointers made, both teams made 12. In the other two losses, the Grizzlies were negative 42 from three. So the Jazz outscored them by 42 points from three. You're not going to outscore this team in the paint. The main reason why you're not going to outscore this team in the paint is Rudy Gobert.
Rudy Gobert.
Defensive player of the year. He's in the running every year, as he should be, because he's the best shot blocker in the game. Very disruptive. Hands are active. Plays the passing lanes well. He does everything that you need from a big man at the highest level in the defensive end. The only game the Grizzlies outscored them in the paint was the last matchup, and they outscored them 60-42, but there was an 11 three-point difference, so there wasn't enough there to make up that gap. So you're not going to outscore them in the paint. You're going to have to shoot the three and defend the three well in order to beat this team. So the Grizzlies have been right there. They've been competitive. They just hadn't been able to get over that hump. And the two games where they were close, they had one game where they lost by 16. The Jazz beat them 126-110. And Ja Morant was basically invisible in that game. He was 12, had 12 points and 4 assists. In the two games where it was close, Ja went for 30. He nearly double-doubled in the last matchup, but he was 32-11 in the first one and 36-7 in the last one. So you're going to need Ja to be aggressive. You're going to need him to score. He's going to have to make the plays, do the stuff that you need from your star in order to beat this team. And then you're going to need your role players to be good. Like you say, Gobert has given JV fits, and JV is one of the best centers in the league, but Gobert is one of the centers that you could easily rank above him. And, you know, there are many reasons for that, but you need him, even though we know what Rudy is going to bring to the table. You need JV to do something to try to neutralize him and show up to this game. He had, looks like 18 and 14 in the first matchup, 13 and 11 in the game that they got blown out by 16, and then 16 and 14 in the third matchup. So JV can be effective against him. It's just, is he going to be ready? Is he going to be up for this game, ready to go up for the challenge against one of the best defensive centers in the league? And we'll see.
Yeah, I think Jared is going to be big in this series. And I've kind of not put any expectations on him. I mean, he's still working his way back in. Clearly still has some rust. I mean, we've seen moments where he's been fantastic, and we've seen moments where he's really struggled. But if you kind of look at the matchups in this game, offensively, I think this is a matchup where Jared could have an advantage if he's himself. I mean, you look at who they run out there before. I mean, you had Royce O'Neal, or was he's up against Bogdanovich, or some of the guys off the bench, Niang, whoever he goes up against. He would have an advantage if he's normal Jared. So I think he could be the X factor for this team. I think for what they lose with JV, they're going to need Jared to kind of pick up some of that slack. And it's kind of hard to put those expectations on him because, again, I think he's still trying to fit in and work his way back into this thing. And I think that's why we've seen him struggle. I mean, he's you out for almost a year. You're going to have some rust. And it's big to throw him back in the mix this late and expect him to be peak Jared. I don't think we're going to get that. But I think if we could see more of those good moments, I think that will go a long ways in the success for this team. Because, again, I mean, you know Rudy Gobert is going to make it tough on JV. It's going to be hard for JV to get his normal production in the paint. Maybe he can kind of step out and hit some jumpers and things like that. But they're going to need Jared, I think, to help make up that difference. And the role players are going to have to be fantastic for this team. We've seen times where they have been, and other times where this bench has really struggled. And if they're going to have success against this Jazz team, we can't see what we saw for the bench against San Antonio. I mean, they're going to need guys like Grayson and X to come in and really get good minutes. Bane, Melton has really struggled of late. We're going to need the Melton that we saw a couple months ago. I mean, those are the type of performances. You can't have those lulls against this team, these offensive lulls where you go 4 or 5 minutes without scoring. If you do that, you're going to lose these games by 20-plus. You just can't do that against a team of this caliber. It's going to have to be all hands on deck. But when I look at it, I think Jared could really be the X factor, because I look at any advantage the Grizzlies have, and that's kind of the one that you look at if he's right.
Man, to me, I got to disagree with you on that one. I think that Jaren could obviously have an impact, but to me, it's DB. It's Dylan, man, because the Utah Jazz with Rudy Gobert on a pick and roll, they play the drop defense. Gobert drops back into the paint to protect the rim. Dylan Brooks' bread and butter is that 12 to 18 foot jump shot. And he can get those at will in this matchup. I know a lot of people don't want DB to be the primary focus on the offensive end, and I'm not saying the offense needs a run through him, but I think that the Grizzlies need between 20 to 30 points a game out of Dylan Brooks in this series in order for them to have a chance, because they run a lot of stuff with him on the offensive end, dribble handoffs, pick and rolls. I think if he can get into that 12 to 18 foot range and he's knocking those down, I think he can have a ton of success against this team. Jaren can obviously be a spark. I hope that there's been a couple times he came out in that San Antonio game and he knocked down a three early on. And, you know, I'm just like flashing back to the Bucks game when Jaren went crazy, wanting to see something like that again. I know that that's coming. I know that, you know, we may not see it in this series, but I know getting into next year, we're going to see that Jaren again as he gets his legs back under him and all of that happens. But to me, I think it's, we know what Dylan is going to bring on the defensive end. We need him to stay out of foul trouble and be effective on the offensive end. That mid-range jumper of his is going to come into handy. I know that's not a great analytical shot, but you're going to get a lot of those, and he can knock those down.
Well, when I said X factor, it's kind of I didn't say DB because it's pretty much understood that they need Ja and DB to be good and to have any, for starters, to have any success. Well, when I say X factor, I mean outside of Ja, DB, and possibly JV, even though we seen him struggle against Gobert. I think if you're going to get one other guy outside of those three, I think Jaren in this series needs to be that guy. And again, I hate to kind of put those expectations on him because, again, we've seen him, like you said, he comes out in that San Antonio game, he'll knock down a couple threes and look like old Jaren and see flashes there, and then he'll kind of revert back to the Jaren that struggle that we've kind of seen since he's come back. But I think in this series, the matchup-wise, I think he has some opportunities there, and I think he's kind of the X factor of this team. But I agree with everything you said about DB. I think offensively, they're going to need him to be really good. We know what he's brought lately on the defensive end, but we're going to need consistency from him on the offensive end. And we're going to need that defensive energy and what he's brought to this team as well in order to have success. But again, this is a tough matchup. I mean, this is going to be a tough matchup for anybody. Utah is a team that could win a championship this year. So it's not going to be easy. Again, we saw this team go against Jazz team shorthanded and still lose those games. I mean, this team is deep. I mean, defensively, they're just a defensive juggernaut with Rudy Gobert. They're in the middle. I mean, just anchoring everything. They make it tough on you. But when you look at this series, man, if the Grizzlies could find a way to steal one of these first two, that's always kind of what you look at when you're an underdog, you're on a road going to one of these series. Can you come home 1-1? I mean, it's not going to be easy, but I wouldn't put it past this team. I mean, this team has done some remarkable things. You look last night, they're not supposed to be doing that in year two with how young this team is. So I'm not going to count this team out. Again, I don't know if they go on to win this series, but I don't think they get swept either.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think they get swept. I think that they find a way to win. I think they win a couple games in this series. Utah had problems last year. Didn't they go up 3-1 and end up blowing it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's Utah has had its struggles. They've been the best team in basketball this year. And Mitchell has missed a lot of time. I was really surprised that they held on to that number one seed with Mitchell being out as long as he was.
I thought Phoenix was going to overtake them, and they held on to it.
That's just a testament. You know, we talked about their depth with Clarkson and Ingles and all of these guys being able to step up. So it's going to be a huge series for the Grizzlies. Win, lose, or draw, whatever happens here, the experience is invaluable. It's great for this young team to see what they're doing so far and to see where they're measuring up against this team. Man, I would love to keep going. There's a ton of stuff that I want to talk about, but this cold is wearing me out, bro. I don't think I got anything else left in me.
Oh, yeah, man, I got you, man. I definitely understand, man. Yeah, there's definitely a couple other things I want to touch on, but yeah, man, we'll definitely be back to tomorrow night or sometime in the next couple of days and try to get someone jump on with us to cover this Jazz. So we'll talk Utah Jazz. The Grizz will be in Salt Lake City tomorrow night, man. Quick turnaround again. Friday night, tough emotional overtime game. You got a day off in between, and tomorrow night at altitude, game one, man. But I'm excited for this opportunity for this young team. They seem to be excited about it. When they left Memphis for that Golden State game, they said they were packing for a 3-game road trip and came to fruition. I think these guys are going to be ready. Again, that doesn't mean they're going to win either one of these games. I mean, that I think they've been ready in games before. We've kind of saw what happened if he said these things, but I think this is new to them. For the coaching staff, for these players, most of these guys have never been in the playoffs, and I don't know if you can fully understand the magnitude of that with never being there. So I think they're going to go out and play. I mean, just play free. I mean, this is a situation where they're not expected to win. Utah's a heavy favorite. I think they're 8.5-point favorite tomorrow night. The Grizz are not expected to win, so just go out and play, man. Bring that heart, bring that energy, and see what happens. And again, I'm excited about it. And I think they're going to win a couple of games at least in this series. And who knows? Hopefully they release the restrictions on the capacity at FedEx Forum before next week so we can get more fans in there. I think it was at 40% for the San Antonio game. Hopefully that gets up to 60, 70%, which is kind of rumored. I think that'd be big. And I think these guys really appreciate Grizz Nation coming out, the growl towels, making noise in there, because Utah fans, we know how great their fans are, how loud it gets out there in their building. So it'd be nice if they could come back home to a big crowd at FedEx Forum. But before we get out of here, man, you got anything else, David?
No, man, I'll say this. I was at that game. I was at the San Antonio game. And even at 40%, you could feel the energy in that building. You know, it's not – I've been there when it was pretty close to full, and it's not the same level. But even at 40%, if they don't go up from there, I hope that they do, because it's going to make it that much better. But at 40%, you could hear the fans. You could feel the energy when – in the big moments, even at 40%, the fans were bringing it, and you could see the players feeding off of it. It was good for I know that the players enjoy it, and you know, obviously going out there to the Forum and soaking it up with you know, when it's full, man, there's nothing like it. There's no energy. You can watch it. You can enjoy the ups and downs from your couch, but when you're actually there with, you know, 18,000 other people, It's incredible, man. So, you know, I don't think that we'll get to full capacity this season. But, yeah, if they could get to the 60 to 70 mark, that would be incredible. I can only imagine what type of intensity this fan base is going to bring to the Forum if they do up it to that.
Yeah, man, I've been to every playoff game the Grizzlies ever had here in Memphis at FedEx Forum. And, excuse me, it's Grizz Nation is fantastic. I mean, I don't think they're – honestly, I don't think there are any better fans in the NBA. And that's not being a homer. I mean, they create – the atmosphere in playoff games at FedEx Forum is something that you can't understand unless you've been there. I mean, it's nuts in there when they get going and get that crowd going. So, yeah, man, hopefully they can, upgrade the capacity level. There's rumors. I know the Predators up there is, I think, to 60%, I think, for their playoff game. So, hopefully we see something similar here in Memphis. Because again, Jaws kind of reached out to the fans and told them to come out. I mean, and they need that energy, because I think the guys feed off that energy. Because I mean, they missed that over the last year and a half. They kind of missed that. So they definitely gives you a boost. You can be that six man on the floor, and I think that'd be fantastic if they get more in there. But again, like you said, even because of COVID, I've been staying away. I've been at home covering the games, but you could tell that San Antonio game a big difference with the 40% there versus, I think, whatever they were doing before then, 3,000, 3,500, whatever it was before then. You could definitely tell a big difference, and you could feel the energy even at home. You could tell it. So it's going to be fun, man. Again, man, who knows where this thing ends up? But again, they got a shot. They really earned it. I said on Twitter, they took the scenic route. No one can say they didn't earn this. Won two games to put themselves in a position to make the playoffs. Came up short last year, and I think guys had to the back of their mind and came up big on Sunday. Just a tremendous game, a situation where they had a big lead and lost it late, ended up going to overtime. And that's the point where usually a young team like this folds. And even in overtime, Golden State took a lead and they just kept punching, man. It was two Grayson threes, Xavier Tillman, huge corner three that he knocked down, and Ja with the big floater in the lane to put him up five to finally put the thing away with, I think, 4 seconds left. I mean, it's just fantastic, and shout out to this team and Taylor Jenkins, and man, that's all I got.
I can't finish this episode without talking about the play that John Morant made, and it wasn't the one that iced the game. It was late in the game. Steph Curry had five fouls, and I tweeted about it being a high IQ play. They were setting up for the pick and roll and got switched. Steph ends up on Ja. Ja waves off the screen. He's like, get back. Because he knows that Steph Curry cannot guard him.
Yeah.
He's not going to contest five. The shot. He can do whatever he wants to do right there. So he waves off the screen, gets into the lane, hits a little jab step. Draymond kind of drops back to help defense, hits a little jab, and hits a small floater. It was like an 8 or 10-foot shot. But that was a basketball IQ play. He knew this guy – when he doesn't have these fouls, I like my chances against him, but he's got five fouls and he has to be in the game for their offense to click. If he fouls me, that's advantage Grizzlies. If he doesn't foul me, then I'm making this bucket.
Make a shot. Yeah.
And that was in the moment. The Grizzlies have struggled closing games for whatever reason. You can call it you know, you can go back and look at lack of ball movement, coaching decisions, rotation decisions. There's a number of different things that you could point out that would be correct in why they haven't been able to close games. But Ja Morant in that moment took it over, and he knew when he ended up with Steph Curry on him, this is the matchup we want. Everybody else get away from me. And they ran an ISO, worked out perfect for him. So that was huge credit. We gas him up all the time on this show, as we should, because he is an up-and-coming star in this league. But that play right there just shows you the type of basketball IQ that he has to be able to know the situation and where Steph Curry was and what he needed to do to keep his team out in front. So that's it. That's all I got. You guys know about our partners here at HoopBall, mybookie.ag. They've been with us for a while. Still got our promo code HoopBall. Go over to mybookie.ag, sign up. They will deposit match. Use the promo code HoopBall. Best online sports book out there. More lines and better odds than any other sports book. Go over there, get that free money. Their motto's easy, guys. You bet, you win, you get paid. We appreciate you all listening. You can get the show on Twitter at HoopBallGrizz. I'm at DWill2111. Isaac, I'll let you get us out of here, man.
Yeah, man. I'm excited. Again, tomorrow night, 8:30. It's going to be, to watch the maturation process of this franchise. I mean, if we get the chance to cover this franchise, it's been fantastic. And I think last night just shows what we're in for the future. I think this team is already poised beyond the years, and you got two cornerstone pieces in Ja. And I definitely want to touch on that, and we'll touch on it next time. I see some hot takes about Jaren that I definitely want to get into it. We'll talk a little bit about that next time. But I think you got two cornerstone guys that are going to lead this team to – you look back at the core four era, and that's fantastic. But I think this Grizz next up, next gen, could be even – take it even farther. I really do. We have a type of guy in Ja that we've never had for this franchise, a transitional – face of the franchise type guy that's marketable not only in Memphis but nationally. We've never had that, and it's just been fun to watch. But yeah, man, you can get me on Twitter at Isaac_Rivals. Make sure you go over to Ed Hoopball Grizz, follow us on Twitter, check out the podcast. Man, we'll be back either tomorrow night or probably Monday to discuss game one, get you set for game two. Other than that, man, until next time, go Grizz.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.